Hey, this is Samir.
Hey, this is Alec.
And this is Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Let's get it going. What's up, EDM champions? We are back. Guess what, guys? We're here for episode 43, and I am taking the on repeat this week. Jumping right into the music, and this week, super pumped up. I love this song. It is Loud Luxury and Ryan Shepherd for the song Fill Me In. Let's get it going. Sat down, started kissing, caressing, told me about jacuzzi, sounded interesting, so we jumped right in, all calls diverted to answer phone, please leave a message after the tone. Me and our parents were kinda cool, but they ran a fine line between me and you. You were just doing things young people in love do, parents trying to find out what we were up to. Saying, why were you creeping around late last night? Why did I see two shadows moving in your bedroom light? Now you're dressed in black when I left you were dressed in white. Can you feel me? Calls got heard into the answer phone. Red bottom bottle, half the contents gone. When I returned, jacuzzi turned on. Can you feel me?
What a way to kick off a brand new season. Great
dude
selection for on repeat. I love this. Loud Luxury, man. I mean, they've just been pumping out some solid tunes.
I know. I seriously, man, I love this song. One of my coworkers sent this to me. He's not a huge EDM guy, but every once in a while, he'll send me a song because he obviously knows how much I love EDM. So shout out to Will. And so he sent me this song and I threw it on, dude. And I was like, wow, I could not stop listening to this song. It was released on Tiesto's Deep House label, After Hours. He included it in a mix. But dude, this song, I feel like, is such an awesome direction for Loud Luxury. The way that Loud Luxury and Ryan Shepherd kind of came together for this song, Fill Me In. And you know what's dope about this song, Alec? It reminds me of Young Love. It reminds me of young Samir in high school. Do you feel me? Can you feel me on this?
I guess. Yeah, I could see that.
This is pure, like, you know, 16 through 18-year-old, you know, young love right here. That's what this song is talking about. And, dude, I am 100% in on this track. I love this song, dude.
You know, let's take a step back for a second. Welcome back, man. I'm so fucking pumped that we've got a dude, brand new season. This is so cool.
I feel good, man. I feel good. I'll tell you this right now, Alec. I missed you.
I missed you too, man.
I miss hearing your voice. I miss doing this with you. You know, we've had some very busy holidays, which, you know, we could talk about a little bit. It feels good to be back, and it feels good to just kind of have a new season of Beyond the Beats kind of kicked off. You know, we got the website. We got some fantastic guests and special guests that we have coming on to the show and some amazing artists. Dude, like, our emails are busy. They're blowing up. Just it's amazing to see all the dope stuff that we're planning for 2020. And, man, it feels so good to be back at it. I've missed this, and I've missed you, and I've missed our EDM champions.
I've missed you too, man. And, yeah, I've missed everyone. It's just been – it was nice to have the season break, don't get me wrong. But
totally.
It's even nicer to be back in the flow with Beyond the Beats. And I'll tell you what, everyone, we've got a heck of a season for you, but let's focus on the present. We've got also another great episode for you. This is episode 43. Let's do a quick overview of what we're going to be talking about today. We've got a bunch of new music from people like Adidas, as I like to call
him.
There he is. There he is. I'll probably regret saying it like that later. Cold War, Duke DeMont, and many others. Then we're going to be talking about, guess what? It's Ultra Miami again. There's more controversy. It wouldn't be an Ultra without any controversy, would it, Samir? It's just these guys.
Oh, man.
Man, there's always controversy around this. We've got Coachella's lineup too. And we'll be wrapping things off with the anti-plur moment. Samir, I'm really excited to hear your story about this.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Yeah, so
I
ready.
Have been steaming. Go ahead.
And just so listeners know, I actually don't know the story. So that every reaction, all the reactions will be
I've been
live.
Saving it.
He's been saving it. Then we've got the What We're Listening To section, where we've got two fantastic track. Well, we'll see about fantastic, but we've got two tracks we're going to be giving our thoughts on and our rating as well. And then wrapping it up, we've got the artists we're watching sections. Yet again, two fantastic artists that we would like to introduce you. But jumping straight into it, we've got the new music from artists we're watching section to cover relatively quickly here. We've got Adidas with the song Woods. Samir, what do you think about this release?
Let me tell you something, all right? I put this song on, you know, I immediately put on my Adidas, you know, like those soccer pants. Okay, I
put
on my
Adidas
shoes.
Do you have them?
I have like four pairs, you know. I absolutely love those things, man. Yeah, they're amazing.
I'm actually wearing some now.
Adidas shoes, I put on my Adidas shirt. Like, I had to get all wrapped up in Adidas, okay?
Sounds like a Slavic heaven over there with your Adidas.
I'm straight up Slavic squatting over here, dude. This is the kind of shit, okay, that if you get lost in the woods and this song comes on, you are in big trouble, okay? It's a bassy, wubby song, and it is creepy. It's got an atmosphere to it that is gonna just rattle you and shake your bones, but it's creative. And there's nobody that I've ever heard make the kind of sounds in their music like Adidas has in this song, Woods. But you know what, man? I don't want to keep teasing our EDM champions out here, so let me go ahead and play this song for them. Guys, this is Adidas' song, Woods. Check it out.
Couldn't agree with you more, man. I absolutely love the creativity in this song. First of all, I mean, he's always creative, so that's something, a staple of his in every single one of his tracks. But you know, he's the type of guy that makes you want to believe in dubstep again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's a lot
totally,
of people
bro.
Out there. There's a lot of, you know, people who are saying dubstep's going downhill. But if you play a track from Adidas to them, I tell you what, they will say it's on the rise yet again. And he has his own unique way of cultivating the dubstep sound from old as well as with the new.
Eclectic, I love it.
There we go. That's going to be the word of the season again. It's going to be eclectic. I'm going to try
6 minutes into the new season and we've already heard the word eclectic.
That's smart. I appreciate you adding it to your vernacular. That's good.
Thanks for sending me that dictionary for Christmas, dude. I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely need it. All right, moving onwards. We've got DMVU Blocked, but wait, it's the Dwam remix. Dude, I don't know about you, but I thought this was a really interesting take on it.
That's the beauty of Dwam, dude. Dwam. D-W-A-M. He is not afraid to take risks, okay? He's not. And he is going to take a song, which I feel like has been remixed so many freaking times, dude. The amount of Blocked remixes that I've seen is insane. But I gotta say, Dwam's is the one that I think has the most creativity and uniqueness to it. You're gonna be hard to find that in the other remixes. Look, this song Blocked, it's still an absolute banger, right? I mean, back on the block, okay? I remember when I heard Rez drop this.
Yes,
I think I think her set at EDC 2017 was the first time I ever heard this live, and, and I felt like myself just get blown back. Dwam did a fantastic job of putting his own take on it, and his hard bass style is something that just comes across so nicely in this remix that, you know what, we got to play for our listeners right now, for our EDM champions. Guys, this is the Dwam remix of DMVU's Blocked. Wear your seatbelts, get strapped in, you're about to be blown away. Yeah.
and blown away I am. Samir, I love this remix, man. I think this is...
Me too.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as you said, there's been quite a number of remixes. And let's not forget, I think I actually featured their remix of this, but Trip Trop, when I first mentioned
it.
Yeah,
them,
I think,
dude, forgot about
right?
that one.
Yeah,
yeah,
they have
nice.
An awesome remix of it too, with a little DMB
yes,
on the end, like the second or third drop in there. But anyhow, Dwam does a really nice job. You know, he's sticking to kind of dub bass vibe with it, so I really appreciate his, you know, unique take on this, and he didn't try to go for a different genre. That's ballsy of him to do, because this is a iconic song, I'd say, right now in the
totally,
bass
community.
It has been for the last few years, I should say. Wrapping this part off, we've got Cold Wall. Love your Cold Wall, man. You're just tuning out some fire. Cold Wall released a song called Corpus. What do you think, man?
He can do no wrong, and this is a fantastic track from Cold Wall. I think this is his new sound. I think he's starting to identify with this sound. What would you categorize this sound as, Alec? It's a little bit unique, and I know on the last episode we had a little bit of a hard time trying to identify Cold Wall sound, but what do you think this is?
This particular track?
Yeah.
It's got mid-tempo vibes to it, right?
It does.
It really
does.
It's
like a mid-tempo G-house, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm still a little bit lost as to what to call it, but you know what, man?
Right.
Cold Wall, I think he's identifying with this sound, and I think it's really, really paying off well for him, man.
I like it. You know, it's definitely straddling the lines between mid-tempo and probably some other type of genre, right? But he is really cultivating that Cold Wall sound, where if he sticks with this, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to have this type of sound associated with his name and his brand.
I totally agree with you, man. I totally agree with you. But before we move on to the next section, we have got to preview this track right here. For the EDM champions. Guys, this is Cold Wall's song Corpus, right here. Check it out.
This is a heck of a track. And then, you know, listeners, we'll have this all into the show notes too, so definitely go check it out on SoundCloud. Give it a like and a repost as well, because people need to hear this, especially the build up. This, Samir, you know, the build up to this whole song, it's a long build up. It's not too drawn out, and it just keeps you waiting for that drop. New music, so much new music. I mean, you know, we had to really narrow it down, but here's our best shot narrowing down all the new music that's happened while we're on the season break as well as this week. Kicking it off with, man, I absolutely love these guys. Duke DeMont. They're keeping the roll going with their new track, Therapy. I don't know about you, man, but I found this track to be very therapeutic.
That's perfect, man. This song is so therapeutic. You know what's great, though? I love that we're seeing this trend of they're loving the house music, man. And Duke DeMont has always been doing house music.
Yep.
But now I feel like Duke DeMont is doing his house music in such a way where it's a little bit more minimal. You know what I mean? Focusing on a few key elements in each track. And that's what we're getting right here with Therapy, right? I mean, dude, think about it this way. Like, think about Duke DeMont's song, I Got You. You know that song?
Yeah, of course I do.
As long as I got you, baby. That is a fantastic track. You know what I mean? A lot going on, really nice, upbeat vibe. But now I feel like this type of house music is really taking off here in the U.S., and it's taken off worldwide, and I thought this song, Therapy, is just, it's perfect. It's a fantastic house track. I'm really, really digging this one.
I cannot wait to hear this live, honestly, and I'm sure there's going to be quite a few people dropping it, but they're just on a roll, man. I tell you, Duke DeMont, and then shout out also to Gorgon City. I feel like they've just, the last few tracks that they've been putting together have just been really, really solid. So I'm glad to see that Duke DeMont's kicking off. Was this released in 2020?
It was released in 2020. That's
perfect. Well, kicking off the new year correctly with a house banger, or minimalistic house banger, I should say.
A little bit more minimalistic.
A little bit
more
minimalistic, but still a banger in its own right. Okay, Matt.
Moving on to somebody who's not as minimalistic, right?
No, no shot is this guy staying and keeping things minimal. He's going to be all over the place, but in the best possible way.
This is the kind of guy who you see walking down the sidewalk, right? Straight up wearing polka dot, neon, you know, vertical, horizontal stripes. Maybe his shoes are orange and they light up. He's maybe wearing a nice, funny hat. This is Matt Zoe, baby, okay? Blessed be thy name.
Love the name.
Is the name of this song.
Love the name. Okay. What a fantastic... See, that is great. I just love that. I love it when artists make creative original names like that.
I love this guy. I love this guy. His music is always so interesting to listen to, and I want to see him live again so badly, dude. So badly.
I've never seen him.
Zoe,
did you know that?
Oh, dude.
Oh, no.
That's shocking. That's shocking. I will say, though... When I saw him, I don't think he was being as experimental as he's being now. And I'm talking like I maybe saw him about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I feel like there came a point in Matt Zoe's life where he's like, you know what? I'm taking off this suit with the black tie, white shirt. I'm taking it off. I'm ripping it off. And I'm going to show everybody what I got in terms of my creativity. And Matt Zoe is the name and creativity is the game. This guy has got it, dude. I think he's dabbling in more DMB, and this is a really dope track. It's not like it's not your formal DMB, right? But it's still like it. That's the beauty of Matt Zoe, is that he crosses genres and he does it very well, and he takes risks, and that's why I love this song, "Blessed Be Thy Name." Alec, I'm like sweating over here. What do you think?
No, I'm 100% on board with you, man. I mean, you know, definitely taking influence from the DMB side of things. However, I will say this: I don't know what genre or subgenre you could classify this as, because there's just so many different influences in there. And as you very astutely pointed out, that is kind of the new Matt Zoe brand, and I absolutely love that. Blessed be his name with this track. I absolutely love it. Okay, last two, this is the penultimate one. I got ahead of myself there. Darbin, Lowell, Holding On. What do you think?
All right. I'm not gonna get negative because
You can get negative, man. It's okay.
No, I'm not. The thing is, though, is this track isn't necessarily invoking negative emotions, right?
Okay.
Here's the thing. Darbin is in a very interesting place in his career, mm-hmm. right? I actually got a chance to talk to him when I went to Ascend Tour show at Madison Square Garden, and we got to talk a little bit about his career and what's next for him. And he was very open. You know, he's been a part of Illenium's band for a very long time. The Ascend Tour is the last tour that Darbin is doing with Illenium, because now he's going to focus on his own career. All good blood. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
I think Illenium saw like, hey, Darbin's career is taking off. This man, let this guy spread his wings and fly. And I feel like Darbin has learned a lot from Illenium in their time of working together and touring together and making music together, right?
Totally.
All that being said, this sort of melodic, emotional kind of bass music, there's very few artists that I like that do this well. Seven Lines being the number one artist that I love that does this kind of stuff. Darbin, I think he just needs a little bit more time to explore like his own sound. You know what I mean?
Mm,
because I feel like there's just so many elements that are being drawn from what Illenium normally does. And again, like I said, I'm looking at what Darbin has been doing in his career, right? He's been with Illenium for a long time. I'm sure he's learned a lot. He's picked up on a lot of those kinds of things. I think Darbin's music, we're going to start to see a bit of a departure from, you know, that Illenium sound. This track was just a little bit too similar to what I feel like Illenium would put out. That's just my opinion.
Interesting.
Alec, what do you think?
No, that's a really interesting point that you raise, and not something I've grappled with really when I listened to this. I mean, you know, I like Darbin. I didn't particularly like this track too much. I don't know if I'd say it's because it's too similar to Illenium, even though that's interesting. I think his sound's always been quite aligned with Illenium's, right? I can see what you're saying
sad
with this
boy,
one.
Sad boy, sad girl music.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know.
Oh, the track is called Holding On.
Yeah.
We should
well,
probably
there you go.
Say that.
I think.
Oh,
definitely.
Man, they're the worst.
Yeah, exactly. This one's kind of a little bit more of a neutral response for me, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
I don't dislike it, but I don't particularly like it either. I think it's interesting you brought up Darbin's own sound, and I think, yes, that's something 2020 is going to be a big focus for him on. You know, I'm sure he's out there trying to produce and just figure out what
his
sound is going to be. So, you know, there's a lot of people who absolutely love Darbin, right? And so I've always liked him. I just, what I'm really looking forward to is seeing him nail down his signature sound, right? Because I think before artists can necessarily expand and extrapolate and do all these different things, they need to have kind of a core, a foundation, right, at first.
Yeah.
Or at least tackle one thing, right, before moving to a different genre. That's something that other artists do as well quite successfully. So for 2020, Darbin, if you get a chance to listen to this, make this a year, buddy. Make sure that you nail down your sound, because I'm looking forward to it.
The guy's got talent. There's no doubt about it. He's got talent.
Insane amount of talent. And insane amount of talent.
I'm excited to see where this guy's career goes. Song, I agree with you. Neutral for me. It's called Holding On. But you know what? Maybe we'll see some fire releases from him in the future, especially as he starts to kind of tour on his own. Dude, okay, wow. Are we ending this section of the new music section of Beyond the Beats here? We're ending this on a very hard-hitting track. Oof. And we're talking about... Alec, forgive me if I'm going to pronounce this
wrong.
Wait,
I was like just about to say the same thing. I remember there's a correct way of saying it.
I'm pretty sure it's not Atliids, right?
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Atliids. All right, here we go. Dude, you know what? Pronounce this guy's name any way you want, but when this song Meltdown comes on, okay, he promises he's going to freaking have lightning come out of his hands, attached to your brain, and melt your brain, okay? This song, Meltdown, is the kind of shit. If you were to hear this in the middle of the night, like, if somebody woke you up with this song, like, you would probably be panicking, okay? This shit, when it drops...
any dubstep song, I'd be panicking if I woke up.
No, but dude, there's something about this track that hits so hard. It's like, yeah, the countdown, the samples that were used, the first drop is fire, the second drop is even harder than the first one. I have been really loving house music. I've always loved house music, but I feel like I've really gone into it, you know, like last year, 2019, and into 2020. But A.T. Elias is somebody I want to see live in the Bay Seed so badly, dude, so badly. And this song, Meltdown, just kind of reaffirms that wish. Alec, what'd you think?
I couldn't agree more, first of all, with that last sentiment you expressed there, man. Definitely these are guys that you want to go see live. I've never had the pleasure, unfortunately, but it's definitely on my bucket list of artists to go see. But I couldn't agree with you more, man. I mean, I certainly would be very scared if this type of track came on at night while I was sleeping. But you know, they have such an interesting take on the bass scene and with dubstep, and they also have quite a bit of variety. Like, if you go and listen to some of their older tracks too, you know, there's definitely a progression here towards this type of sound. But it fits naturally with all of their releases from the dawn of their existence as a group. So definitely, if you want to go check them out, check out the show notes. We've got links to SoundCloud and Spotify for them as well. They're getting big. I mean, you know, these are people that you just have to go see. I'm calling it 2020. I think it's going to be a big, big year for them.
And I also just want to say that their masks are super dope.
Yes, their masks are amazing.
So dope.
They're awesome.
I love the lasers that like shoot out of their eyes. Okay, I could go on about these guys, but they are the real deal. Dude, you know, just before we dive back into the music culture section, how are you, man? How was your new year? Like, how were your holidays? I know you're out here on the East Coast, and I'm so upset that I missed you by a day.
I know.
But how you doing, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, you know, it's been a crazy time. You know, work has obviously been very, very busy, but just crazy prepping for the new season and just, you know, reaching out to people. It's been a lot of fun, I tell you. And that's just a very refreshing, rewarding thing to do. You know, I've also got to give a big shout out to UNU and Type 3 out of Las Vegas. When I was there for CES, you know, the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, I got a chance to meet up with them and just hang out with them for a bit. And I'll tell you, two very, very solid dudes and two incredibly solid producers as well. I mean, there's just, you know, a lot going to come from these guys. We were talking about their plans, so definitely a big shout out to them. And you know, it's so nice being able to meet some of the people that we mention on the show and talk to, just because you just realize how down to earth really the majority of the scene is, right? Especially the DJs and producers that are trying to make it, they're just everyday type of people, and there's no real, you know, at least from my experience, no real elitism to them. And that's what I find very refreshing about the scene, is that, you know, no matter how big they are, they still are down to earth. You know, I'm sure you've had similar experiences, but how have you been, man? I mean, you were in New Zealand. That must have been awesome.
Yeah, the holidays were just absolutely amazing. I completely agree with what you said earlier on this episode. It was nice having a little bit of a break. It's funny because I was editing, you know, the last episode of the 2019 season, like on the plane, on my connection to LA.
That's right.
And then also the artist spotlight, and I landed and I dropped both of those episodes in, and it was like weird, you know what I mean? Like dropping in the last episodes of 2019 into our hoster. But the holidays were just fantastic. New Zealand was absolutely amazing, dude. Beautiful country, beautiful people. And, you know, my heart really goes out to, you know, all those who are struggling with the Australian wildfires. And you know, I know the smoke has carried on into New Zealand as well. I mean, I saw some pictures and my heart really goes out to the folks out there. Yeah. You know, we hope everybody's staying safe. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, actually, in the news and culture section. But, dude, before we move into the news and culture section, I want to ask you, do you have any New Year's resolutions that you quickly want to mention on the pod?
You know, it's funny. I don't really do those.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I don't really
Alec,
do
you're,
those.
You're always goal setting and always like, right. You're always going after it.
Yeah, so I mean, I kind of just, I goal set quite frequently. So I find that I usually don't need to do it. In New Year's, I take the time to reflect, right? But I don't do a New Year's resolution per se. It's more just a continuation of the regular goal setting that, you know, I put myself in for. And how about you? Do you got any?
I have a couple. One of which, really quickly, is I want to stop using my phone and screens after 10 p.m. so I can fall asleep easier.
That's
number one for myself.
Excellent.
I think I'm working pretty nicely to that. I'm getting back into reading, so that's what I've been doing before I go to bed.
Nice.
Number two, I want to balance my time a little bit better so that way I can start hitting the gym more regularly. So I'm excited for that. And then number three, just want to reduce my use of plastic. So that is that's a goal for myself. Yeah, you know, it's just, I think it's important for myself. And it's, you know, being in New Zealand, like I said, it's like the people out there really care about their environment, and that shows. And when you care about your environment, it cares about you back. So really, really fantastic learnings that I have from there. But EDM champions, I feel like there was a lot that was happening while we were away. You know what I mean? Like, we had Countdown, we had Sunburn, and you know what? I guess the hashtag ban Sunburn didn't really do much because Sunburn in Goa, India still happened. You know what I mean? Eric Prydz doing Hollow Show, Skrillex was in DC. You know, it's just, there's stuff that was happening all around the world. And from us to you, Happy New Year. Welcome to this new decade. We are so happy to be back with you guys, and we are ready to kick off this freaking season. And you know what? We want you guys in on this conversation. So join us, guys. Instagram at btb.pod, Twitter at podbtb. You can find us on Facebook. You know, all these links will be in the show notes. And we just want to hear from you guys. You know, if you want to send us an email, hit us up, connect@beyondthebeats.co.co, and our website as well, beyondthebeats.co. You know it. Dude. You ready to jump into this?
Let's do it. We've got a nice, big, juicy topic to jump into for this episode's news and culture section. Of course, I'm talking about Coachella, right? The festival that I think everyone in the world has heard about, at least by now. If you haven't, I don't know what rock you've been under. But this year's Coachella is an interesting one. I've heard quite a few mixed opinions about the lineup.
What?
Yeah, I've seen some
mixed.
I've seen some mixed opinions. I have.
Oh,
I'll get into it. I'll get into it. In, you know, from just I'd say probably. Let me reframe this. Not necessarily from an EDM standpoint, but just from a general standpoint. I mean, it's definitely, there's definitely packed, but I think some people were expecting some of the larger, you know, big time headliners. Right. I think they weren't quite as happy just with Rage Against the Machine, Travis Scott, Frank Ocean, right? They wanted bigger people. I know people wanted like Billie Eilish to come back again. Anyhow, we'll get into that in a minute. But let's go over this lineup. What are some EDM figures that you want to talk about that are going to be at Coachella this year?
Let me just quickly, from a very high level, say I've never been a big fan of Coachella. I just never have. I find it to be, you know, the festival itself just seems like absurdly expensive to go to. And I feel like my money would be better focused elsewhere at other festivals and experiences as compared to Coachella. I've heard it's beautiful. I heard it's a really awesome festival. But just some of the logistics pieces of it and the way that the stages are, I don't know. I've read some things where it just kind of turns me off to it. With all that being said, I have never, ever said this about a Coachella lineup, but I'll say it now. This lineup for 2020 is the one that'd make me want to go. If there was any lineup for Coachella, and I'm talking all-encompassing, dude, EDM versus non-EDM, this is the lineup that I would attend for. Because dude, from an EDM standpoint, right? Calvin Harris. I may not be the biggest fan of his new direction, but it's always good to see a legend on a lineup, right? Calvin Harris is there. Flume. Amazing, okay? Check this out. You got Grizz. You got Lane 8. You got Peggy Goo. You got Big Wild. You got Duke DeMont, who we just talked about. You got Black Coffee, Jai Wolf. I mean, I'm going to save some for you as well because there's a bunch of names that I want to talk about. But this lineup from an EDM standpoint is freaking fantastic. You're getting a bunch of different tastes of EDM right here, right now at Coachella 2020. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you from that standpoint as well. And definitely got to give a shout out to some of the people who, you know, might be on the smaller side. If you're someone that's not well-versed in the EDM realm, you probably wouldn't have heard of these people before, but, you know, our EDM champions, I'm sure they have. So I got to give the shout out. These are big sets for them. You've got Whipped Cream. Look at that. That's a huge set for her. GG Magri as well. It's going hard there. Some couple of hard people. I love it. It's awesome. Yeah. You've got people like Anna there too. Shout out to her. I think, is this her first Coachella? Must be.
I think this is her first Coachella, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely has to be. Lane 8, that's a big one for him too. Has Lane 8 ever played? I don't think they have.
I'm not sure, but this is a big one. That's a big name. That's a fantastic name to have on a Coachella line.
Yes, definitely. As well, shout out to Kyle Watson. He's going to tear it up.
Yes, baby.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one for the South African there. Got Vanessa as well. I saw Vanessa one time. I tell you, she has got some real talent there. In terms of other people, there's a lot of names to go through on this one, right? Dom Dollar, that's right. He's playing. Charmy, hell yes.
You got Charmy doing his own set. You got Mala doing his own set. I mean, I think we mentioned Peggy Goo. You got Toki Monster. You have Lost Kings on here as well. Dude, I mean, this is a very EDM-heavy lineup.
There's one name
lineup,
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned.
Is it the Martinez Brothers?
No, but that's a solid one too.
Yeah.
Techno for people
is
who haven't
Slender?
Listened to it. No, it's Slender here?
Yeah, Slender's
no
Slender
fucking
too.
Way. Are you serious?
Yeah, dude.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Duck Sauce. All right, sorry. What's the name that you were saying?
This
here?
Is Slender.
Slender.
If you haven't.
Coachella, what the fuck is up?
It's every time it gets me.
Every
I don't know
time.
How he keeps his voice. It's unbelievable.
God. Anyways, who am I missing out?
You're
Alex?
Missing Chris Liebing. What's going on?
Oh, fuck, I must have missed his name. That is my bad, dude.
On
that is
Saturday.
My bad.
No, it's again, fine. I mean, I'm surprised.
It's just adding more names to such a stacked lineup. And then, of course, I got to give a shout out to this one. Fat Boy Slim.
That's
is he
right.
fat?
Holy
is he
shit.
Slim? He's a Fat Boy Slim, okay? I mean, it's incredible, this lineup, dude. Like I said, I mean, what about the non-EDM names, Alec? Any particular favorites you got on the non-EDM names?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm a big fan of Frank Ocean, so I'm actually really happy that
nice.
He is headlining that day. And that's, I think, what the... I that's going to be a big pull, I think. But I know that might be some people, maybe Gen Zers, that don't really know Frank Ocean mm-hmm. as well, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since he's done, I think, a big show. I could be completely wrong about this. So, yeah, Frank Ocean, definitely excited. Lana Del Rey, I've actually never have seen her live, but would be really excited if I got the chance to as well. There's a lot of names. Rage Against the Machine is awesome.
I think this is the one that people are upset about is Rage Against the Machine in a headlining spot.
Right, but I think they do. I think they deserve it. I think they're gonna put on a good
show. Of course
show.
They fucking deserve it. Oh my god, dude. It's not a question at all. Are you kidding me right now? I was actually on FaceTime with one of my girlfriend's friends just this past weekend. And, you know, we were talking about the Coachella lineup, and she's like, who is Race Against the Machine?
What? No.
I was like...
No fucking way.
I was like, what? I was like, oh, nah. Dude, grabbed the phone, had to straight up school her, dude. Rage Against the Machine, absolutely iconic rock band from the 80s and 90s, dude.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a massive reason to go to Coachella because you might not ever get the chance to see the Rage Against the Machine live. And these guys, when they do, I've watched videos on YouTube of their shows, and when they do a show, they bring so much passion, so much energy, and the crowd is in for it, man. This Rage Against the Machine headlining spot, perfect. The fact that Calvin Harris is underneath Rage Against the Machine, I love it. I absolutely love it, dude. I really think Coachella hit it out of the park with this one this year.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I don't think it's interesting you mentioned the Calvin Harris being below. I don't think that Coachella's ready to have an EDM person, quote unquote, even if it's more poppy.
Oh.
I don't think they're ready for it. I don't think so.
Interesting.
Yeah, wow. I mean they're adding more and more of it, but I just don't think that I think they It's interesting. I really don't know. Maybe the times are changing. You know, I mean, there's certainly more
yeah.
electronic music representation in Coachella. You know, and certainly adding more diversity than I've seen in previous lineups. But I don't know if they're ready to put someone on that top slot, even a Calvin Harris who just pulls a lot of weight.
Well, you know what, man? We'll have to see. We'll have to keep an eye on what Coachella's up to. But if Coachella kind of continues along with these strings of these sorts of lineups, I'm talking like Into the Future, 2021, 2022. I might have to make a play for Coachella at some point in my Ooh. Life because Coachella has never been a festival where I was like, I want to go to. It's never been like that for me. But this lineup right here is the one, like, if I didn't have other plans for this year, I think I probably would have made a move for Coachella.
Oh, wow. Interesting. You know, it's so funny. I've always thought about doing it. I mean, now I'm out here, it's really quite easy for me to do it if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Still probably not one that's on my list. So maybe if you go, I'll consider it. But you know, right. we'll have to see. Okay. No, this lineup is definitely more enticing to me, but I think it's just the cost. It's just so bloody expensive.
It is expensive.
I mean, you know, it's just, yeah, it's...
It's nuts.
It is nuts. Absolutely.
EDM champions, if you guys got a chance to peep this lineup, well, first of all, peep it. It's in the show notes. But if you guys got a chance to peep this lineup, let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you think about this Coachella lineup. And if you guys have been to Coachella, let us know. How'd you like it? Send us videos. Send us pictures. What did you and your squad get into? We want to know. We want to feel included. So definitely let us know.
For sure. For sure. All right. I think we've wrapped up Coachella there.
Yeah.
Dude, this is going to be a good topic. I'm really excited that you put this on the show notes and we get a chance to talk about it because everyone knows about this. I hope so. At least it's been on the news.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, poor. It's just been relentless for him. I mean, there's just some crazy, crazy statistics out there. I mean, we're just talking about so many animals that are harmed in the Australian bushfires as well as humans too. And it's nice to see that the electronic music community in particular is doing everything that they can to support it. I mean, you've got artists throwing events just to support the first responders. So what are some of the names here? I see we've got Chris Lake. Definitely awesome to see him getting involved. Fisher, Flume, and Alice in Wonderland. Let's talk about specifically some of these things, man. What's some of the, you know, actions or events that are standing out to you from these artists?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing to see what people do for each other in times of hardship. And what's amazing is that the EDM community is also kind of, you know, joined in and they're trying to support as well. Let's start with Chris Lake, dude. You know, this is amazing. Chris Lake threw a club night in LA where 100% of the proceeds goes towards relief organizations in Australia. And he was able to raise $52,000 in one night, man. I think that's just absolutely amazing.
Impressive.
That we have artists
totally.
Like Chris Lake doing this kind of stuff. You know, one of them, and I know this one's going to hit really close for him, but Fisher himself is Australian. He raised over $100,000 by throwing a nightclub night in, I believe, I want to say it was Sydney, which is awesome as well.
Just as you said, man, it's just very, very impressive that they were able to raise this type of money in one night. And I just love that they're using, you know, using the scene as a way to channel funds towards it, right? I mean, it's mutually beneficial here. You're giving people a good time. You know, everyone who's attending one of these events knows that their money is going to a good cause, you know, and people can donate while having a good time. I think that's just a great message to send, right? It's not just about sending your money and you can go, you know, participate together in an activity that will directly go and support something such as the Australian bushfires. Definitely a really good sign that you've got artists supporting them.
Absolutely agreed, dude. And then just some other, you know, great acts of kindness here. You got Flume, who just straight up donated $100,000. Amazing. And then Alice in Wonderland. So I didn't know this about Alice in Wonderland, but apparently every February, like right around Valentine's Day, she launches like a t-shirt. Like she drops a t-shirt in her merch store. And rather than doing that this year, she decided to do this kind of this t-shirt design that says climate change is real. And so all the profit that comes from this shirt goes directly to charities that support those who are affected by the Australia wildfires. So I thought that was really cool. Like, you know, rather than doing something that you normally do, taking this opportunity and raising money for a great cause. I think that's amazing. And I'm sure there are other artists who are also doing this kind of stuff. Just these are some of the big ones that we were able to find.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I want to get your take on something. This is going to be a bit of a hot take, I wonder. Really, it's not a hot take from us. I don't think it will be from us. But I have, you know, there seems to be this type of sentiment in today's age where people doubt the intentions of public figures for philanthropic endeavors, right?
What do you mean?
So there's, you know, where the people always criticizing, you know, billionaires or millionaires for donating money to charity and stuff. They just don't seem to get behind it. I mean, I remember one particular case was to rebuild the Notre Dame. You had a, you know, a family make that, you know, rather large donation. But there was also quite a bit of lashback against that, you know, and
interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's been quite a big lashback, and I just do feel in general, you know, especially if companies get involved, there is a little bit of a negative sentiment, and I don't think this is reflected as much in the electronic music industry as much, right? I haven't really seen any lashback against that, but what I'm really trying to get to is why do you think we don't see as much lashback against philanthropic endeavors in the electronic music industry as you do see in others?
That is interesting, Alec. I think that the EDM scene and the rave scene in general is one that is built upon and kind of promoting this sort of vibe or direction and saying that we all, you know, let's all respect each other and let's all be happy, right? And you know what I mean? Sometimes it can be taken to kind of an extreme level. But I think that in the underlying phase, in the underlying kind of culture, there's one of just mutual respect, and there's one of doing good things for each other, right? And it's one of extreme kindness. And that's why I feel like, you know, when we see artists like this, you know, doing these kinds of events and raising money for organizations that they care about or causes that they care about, I think that's why it's more likely to be accepted by the community as compared to if something like this were to happen in like a different culture.
It is interesting. I 100% agree with you.
It's something I've never really thought about before, though, so that is a pretty thought-provoking question,
right? You know, I because when I went over the show notes, I was definitely thinking that to myself, and I'm glad that the integrity of donations and charitable actions has been kept in the electronic music industry. I think that's a good thing, because a little bit too much cynicism, I think, can just, it doesn't help anything, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my point is, I get it. Like, people don't like the commercialization of these type of things. I understand the reasoning why. But to some extent, I just want to be like, who cares? You know? I mean, if it actually benefits somebody or a group of people or environmentalism, right? If it benefits in some way, does it really matter as much if it's a little bit more of a PR play than something that's authentic, right?
Right.
But I'm not accusing these. I don't think, you know, any one of these artists is doing it for a self-serving purpose. I really don't think. I mean, you've got Fisher and Alice in Wonderland from Australia. Glad to see that, you know, the authenticity is shining through and people are appreciating it. You know, I really enjoy that. I just want to put that out there because there's got to be some positivity around this. You know, I really don't.
Totally.
I think, you know, we're a little bit too cynical sometimes of these things, because I really do believe people are good. Right. And given the chance to be good, I do believe that a lot of people will choose to be good. Right. And perhaps that's a little bit naive. Perhaps that's a little bit naive of me. But at least, you know, even if they don't automatically or default to doing good, I think if you give people an opportunity to and some encouragement, they will. So I hope that no one is looking at this through cynical lens. I think that these artists have done a fantastic job doing what they can to help.
You know, one thing for me really quickly before we move on to the next topic is I just hope we continue to see more community outreach, like, you know, contributing to local organizations and more fundraisers like this when it comes to shows and things that are happening in the EDM event space. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there's so many people that go to these shows, and like, I wouldn't mind if like a dollar was added onto my ticket and if that dollar is contributed to a charity, like EDC Las Vegas does. You know what I mean? Like, EDC Las Vegas contributes a dollar per ticket sale to a local charity in Las Vegas.
I love stuff like that. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah,
I like that.
I love it. And I want to see more of that kind of stuff. So, totally. You know, I hope we continue to see the EDM scene, you know, kind of impact communities and organizations in a positive manner like this.
1,000,000%. And actually, Samir, without knowing it, you've made a perfect segue into our next topic in terms about EDM making a positive impact on its communities and local communities. Well, people in Miami might have something to say about that and would disagree with that. We're talking about Ultra Miami's debacle yet again, trying to get their location nailed down in stone at Bayfront Park in Miami, in downtown Miami.
Okay, can I just start?
Yeah, please. I don't know how to.
EDM champions, if you guys don't know what we're talking about here, right? Ultra Music Festival, one of the premier music festivals in the EDM scene. It happened in 2018 at Bayfront Park. We were there, an absolutely beautiful venue in downtown Miami. Skyscrapers all around you. It really is a magical venue. It's really quite nice. It's just a little bit small. It got kicked out of Ultra because the residents of downtown Miami were like, we pay so much money to live here. You guys are closing down Bayfront Park to set this up and to destruct it or deconstruct it. You know, you guys are closing the park out for months at a time. It's supposed to be public use. You got debauchery happening in our streets. You got, you know, we're paying all this money for rent and to own our property here. And we have to listen to these annoying kids and their loud, you know, beep boop music. All right. So it was kicked out from Bayfront Park in downtown Miami. And in 2019, it took place in a small little island right off of the coast of Miami in Virginia Key. It didn't go so well. It didn't go as well as it could have gone over there. But guess what? Ultra, the organizers at Ultra, they're bringing it back to Bayfront Park in downtown Miami. And the neighbors, of course, of downtown Miami, once again, raising complaints and are suing the city because they do not want Ultra to take place in Bayfront Park. Let me start by saying, I think this is going to happen in Bayfront Park this year. I think it will. I mean, look, Ultra, they're not dumb, dude. They're not dumb. They know how much is riding on this, and they're going to do everything it takes to make sure that this year goes off without a hitch. They're back at Bayfront Park in downtown Miami. They're selling tickets. They're advertising it as such. I have no doubt in my mind that Ultra 2020 will take place in Bayfront Park in downtown Miami. However, am I concerned about the future of Ultra Music Festival at that venue? Absolutely, 100%. Do I think that they're not going to be allowed back to that venue after this year? I do.
Oh, interesting. So you think it's just for this year, and then they've kind of pushed their luck a bit?
Yeah.
With this, yeah.
Yeah. You know, let's take a look at this, right? I mean, the folks of downtown Miami, they're complaining once again that, you know, like they complained in 2018, that Ultra just brings way too much debauchery, way too much destruction, and there's no reason why folks should pay so much to live down there in downtown Miami and have to deal with all this nonsense. On the flip side, the city of Miami would like for Ultra to come back because of how much money Ultra Music Festival and Miami Music Week brings into that local economy. So now the question is, who's going to win? Who's going to win in this one? Like I said, I think that Ultra will be back in Bayfront Park this year, but I think after this year, it's not going to happen there anymore.
You know, there was an agreement and they announced the agreement, and there was a lot of restrictions too, so they've changed things, right? It's not going to be as loud. And that's, yep, I think, the chief complaint from a lot of the, you know, the condo owners, particularly, who are annoyed by it, you know, and just, you know, regular workers, is just the noise, apparently. It's just something that really drives them up the wall and quite literally drives them out of the city for the, yeah, weekend. I sympathize with them. I do sympathize.
I get it
because, yeah, I think it probably has. I'm not sure about this. Maybe Samir, if you know, you can shed some light on this, but do you think it's gotten louder?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think every year, you know, you kind of want to push, you want to test the limits, you want to push the limits a little bit. I mean, let's just keep in mind, right? The sound is measured all throughout the event by the city of Miami, okay? And I'm not saying that Ultra is going past their legal limit, but I'm sure that they negotiate the contract with the city of Miami every year where they just make it a little bit louder, a little bit louder, a little bit louder. But I know that I was reading this online that if Ultra, like, let's say the cap is at 110 decibels, if they were to go to like 111 decibels, the city of Miami is going to fine them like immediately for going past the agreed upon noise limit, right? But like I said, year over year over year, they want to make it a little bit bigger, a little bit louder, a little bit more in your face. And I think Ultra in 2018 really just, they pushed their limits with this one.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man. And also, I just think unless they start truly limiting the amount of tickets that they're selling, I think it's just outgrown the area,
yes,
the venue.
Dude,
it's just totally,
yes,
outgrown. It's downtown, you know, in a city, and people don't talk about this, but Miami's population is growing, so it is getting larger.
Yeah.
Miami is a city is growing much more so, and Florida as an entire state, actually. I mean, it's one of the top places if you're young to move to, apparently. You can go on Forbes. I'll try to find a link to that because it's an interesting read. But anyways, I think it's just, you know, when we went there, Samir, it did feel too cramped. You know,
yeah,
with these,
dude,
new,
totally,
noise reductions, right? I mean, they've definitely, you know, they've reduced the level of noise. I there was so much sound bleed already. I just worry it's going to be more sound,
yeah,
bleed. And it just felt too cramped of a festival.
Dude,
I mean,
noise.
Yeah, go on.
It's not just noise reduction, though. It's also size reduction, man. Like, you remember the worldwide stage? Remember how, like,
yes,
that
no,
stage,
yeah, definitely,
like, the crowd could kind of go into Biscayne Boulevard?
That's right.
Like, they closed off half. Yeah, dude. They're not going to have that space anymore, man.
No, I forgot about that. Yeah. See, that would raise a red flag to me if I was considering Ultra. You know?
Yeah, totally, dude.
That would be a big red flag to me because that stage was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great stage. That was a really fun stage. But, you know, I just want to read this quote directly from the complaint here, okay?
Go ahead.
It says, and I quote, between 2012 and 2019, the city allowed Ultra to conduct music festivals in Bayfront Park and blast catastrophic volumes of noise into plaintiffs' and other downtown Miami residents' homes, depriving them of the quiet enjoyment of their homes, and also depriving plaintiffs and other downtown residents access to Bayfront Park for several months each year, reads the complaint. So, I get it. Like, you know, your taxes are going towards this park that's supposed to be open for public use, and then you're closing it down because, you know, this festival that brings in, you know, a lot of debauchery, a lot of sound, a lot of volume, and unruly behavior, you're closing down this beautiful park. I mean, it really is a beautiful park. You're closing it down for months at a time so they can set up this festival, test the festival, do sound checks, all that stuff, and then deconstruct the festival. It's not fair to the residents of downtown Miami. And you know what, EDM champions, you can call me an old grouchy man if you want, okay?
Oh boy.
But if I owned a home down there in downtown Miami, I wouldn't want this shit going on, man, because they also argue...
Well, first of all, you would. I mean, you'd be there.
Okay, maybe I would. Maybe I would, you know.
Hypothetical non-electronic music listener Samir wouldn't want it.
Yeah, thank you, dude. But, you know, let's just say that, like, I own a beautiful apartment down there, and they're arguing, and I completely agree with you, that it could drive down the values of their homes when this event takes place and people see this and buy it. And like this stuff is getting national coverage.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people are going to think about like, do they want to live near a loud music festival and in an area where this music festival takes place before buying a home down there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get it.
No, I understand. And I think it's really, just the condo owners and people who own apartments. I think that's really the people who are affected more so than homes. But even still, I think it's definitely understandable. I totally can understand their concern. And, you know, I just think Ultra has unfortunately outgrown that. And we can just chalk it down to that, right? I think they've just outgrown that area. And I agree. I think maybe this year might be the last straw. But who bloody knows? It feels like the last five, six years, it's been every single frickin' year they go back and forth on this. I mean, it's just like at some point, it's just like enough's enough. Just like find somewhere else. Do something different. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see, and we'll keep you guys updated as well. You guys already know Beyond the Beats, EDM music culture. We love you guys. We'll keep you updated as to what happens with this, dude. It's all love right now, but I'm fucking ready to rip this one up. Okay.
Okay. All right. Get loose. Get the blood pressure up. There we go. Okay.
Just doing some calisthenics over here. Yeah, it's at about 1,000 push-ups. Oh, yeah. No big deal. Dude. Anti-plur moment. Man, did I miss this. Anti-plur moment. Okay, so, you know, I talked about this a little bit at the top of the show, earlier in the show. Got a chance to spend some time in New Zealand. Had a wonderful, wonderful time. And we made a stop in Queenstown, New Zealand, the adventure capital of the world. Crazy stuff going on over there, man. Crazy stuff going on. Bungee jumping, skydiving, great hikes. You know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful area. So Queenstown in New Zealand is also known for having a pretty lively bar and club scene as well. And, you know, my girlfriend and I, we befriended one of the bartenders at a bar there. You know, they had great happy hour specials. We'd go in there, play some board games, play some Mario Kart. And I got to chopping it up with one of the bartenders there. We were talking about Chris Lake because they were setting up for like an event in that bar. It was a DMB night. And I was like, oh, what are you guys setting up for? Because I saw them like bringing in like equipment and DJ speakers. And he's like, yeah, we have a DMB night going on over there. I'm like, oh, sweet. Do you spin? Like, he's like, no, I don't. I'm not here, but I spin at another place. I play a lot of house music. I'm like, oh, sweet. Who's your favorite artist? He said, Chris Lake. I'm like, dude, I just saw Chris Lake before I flew out to New Zealand. So I'm pumped up on that. I'm like, oh, really? When are you playing next? He said, I'm actually playing tonight at this bar over here. And he showed me where. It was actually more of a club. So I'm like, dope, my girlfriend and I will be there. So, you know, my girl and I, dude, we get back, got ready, we pre-gamed a little bit, we're ready to party, we're ready to have a good time, okay? We get to the club, there's two rooms in this club, the front room has all the rap and the hip-hop and the top 40, and it's more populated, and in the back room, the bartender that I just mentioned was playing, and they're playing house music, right? So I'm like, this is, and there's only six people in there, lots of space. You know, there's an elevated platform that my girlfriend and I were dancing on top of. Like I said, there was like nobody there. It was just me and her, and we met some other nice couple from Malaysia, and it was cool hanging out with them, right? Okay. All of a sudden, all right, all of a sudden, you know, like gymnastics mats, like those foam gymnastics mats?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, in the middle of the floor, somebody, like from where the DJ booth was at the front to the back of the room, they roll out a gymnastics mat all the way running the length of the room. And I'm like, this is really weird. I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, you'll see. I'm like, all right, cool. This is a new kind of house music night that I was not expecting. And then they open up the divider between the front room and the back room where the house music was playing and the rap and hip hop music was playing, right? So now the whole crowd from there filters into the back room, right? So now there's more people. You know, I'm like, all right, dope. This looks like we're going to kickstart this party because we got there a little early, right? Mm-hmm. Then an MC gets on the mic and he's like, all right, guys, we're going to have a little competition here. We're like, okay, a little competition. Weird for a house music night, but I'm okay with this. Let's see what's going on here. He's like, all right, whoever can, they tie a bungee around you, and they say, okay, whoever can run from one end of the room to the other end of the room with the bungee tied around you, grab the water bottle all the way at the end, run it back, and chug it. Whoever does that in the least amount of time wins 400 New Zealand dollars. I'm like, oh, dope. Okay, so I go to my girlfriend, I'm like, babe, we should do this. Like, let's do this thing. And she's like, hell no. And then the guy, you had to pair up with somebody. So there's two people doing it, one holding the bungee. And he says, okay, if you take off your shirt, you take a second off your time. If you both take off your shirts, you take 2 seconds off your time. If you take off your pants, you take a second off your time. You know, so on. And if you take off your underwear, you'd get another second off your time. So essentially, you get timed. And then if you do it like completely naked, you take like 5 seconds off the time.
Okay.
So lo and behold, this house music night turned into people with a bungee tied around their waist, running completely naked down a room, grabbing a water bottle, running it back and downing it. And dude, look, let me just say. I'm all for people partying. Like, you know, if you want to get naked and if you want to, like, you know, play a game and potentially win some money, I don't care. Like, it's not something I'm going to do, you know. And like, my girlfriend's like, I can't believe you asked me if I wanted to do this. And I'm like, I didn't know all the details yet, right?
Yeah.
So I just, like, so I'm like, okay, like, I'm fine with this. Like, this is, if people want to party this way, that's fine. But don't advertise this night as a house music night, okay? That's not what this was.
Was there any house music?
Yeah, there was house music, but then they stopped all the music and they were playing this game for an hour. Like, we were there for an hour. I was waiting for them to start playing the music again and end this game, but it just kept on going on and on.
Oh, my God. I could just see you so pissed in the corner, just arms folded. Yeah,
and my arms scowling. are crossed. Yeah, I was like, this isn't house music. What is this? What's going on here? I was so pissed, dude.
Oh, man.
So, you know what? This one, my anti-player moment this week, event promoters who don't tell you the full details of the party.
Maybe he didn't realize that it was just going
to
be...
No, he knew what he was doing. He just wanted heads in the door. I showed up early. I was there for his set, and God, then it just turned into people running around naked.
Did you talk to him afterwards?
No, I was so pissed. I just left. I was like, hell no, dude. Hell no.
Oh, man, you cracked me up. That's awesome. Oh, Lord. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my attitude. I was just so mad, dude.
You know, I really wish I could relate to you on this one, man, but I'm struggling. There's nothing I can add to it. I have never been in that
scenario.
You've
never been to Temple SF and people started getting naked to win some money?
No, I haven't experienced that. It sounds like something that me and my rugby friends would do just for fun. And you know, it'd be a house party, but quite literally a house, and not necessarily house music, but it's just...
I heard you guys have your 2020 calendar coming out.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Watch out.
But, Alec, do you feel me? Like, is my anger justified in this? Like, I was
mad,
dude.
I understand. Totally.
It was just like, my girlfriend and I, we walked away from it, and we were like, well, that was really fucking lame.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, I guess.
If anything...
Yeah.
That would make me never want to go back.
Did that just end the night like that?
I mean, I don't know how the night ended, because after like this game going on for an hour, you know, I was just like,
so it still was going on when you left?
Yeah, it was still going on while we were walking out.
Strong.
Yeah. And like I said, dude, I don't care if that's how people want to party. Like, look, it's your body, it's your rules. You can do whatever the hell you want. Like, it's fine. But like, don't advertise your night as a house music night, and you know, we got people's genitalia flopping around as they're running around the around the club.
You know, it's you know, those Kiwis are nuts. What can I say? I mean,
they are nutty.
I mean, so what time did you leave?
It's probably around like 1 a.m.
Oh, Jesus. So it probably was towards the end of the night.
It was like our last night partying in Queenstown, too, and that's how it ended. Anyways, that's my anti-Thor moment. EDM champions, awesome. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to relate to that one, but if you can, you know, hit us up at Instagram at btb.pod, Twitter at podbtb.
Yeah, I want some stories. I want some stories that will rival that one of Smith's. I don't know if we're going to find that, man. That is something truly unique.
Oh, man. All right, dude. I'm really happy I finally got that off my chest. I've been meaning to tell you that story for a while.
I'm glad you held off.
I wanted to save it for the pod.
That was funny. Oh, man. But I'll tell you. All right.
Let's do it.
let's move forward. Okay, we've got the what are we listening to section. I'm so glad that we can get back to this, man. But Samir, tell everyone about our unique rating scale here on Beyond the Beats.
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever gonna listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not gonna really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it. Alright, so Alec, this week, two selections, man, for the What Are We Listening To section. We got Nicky Romero. He's back. We got the song I See. I'm pretty sure he didn't go anywhere. But anyways, we got the song I See.
Yeah, he's still around. He's still around. Yeah, yeah. He hasn't disappeared.
And then we got Steve Aoki with Maluma for the song Maldad.
Yeah, okay. Someone who also Alec. Is around quite frequently.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Aoki, the guy's he's churning out music. All right. Dude, let's first talk about this song, Nicky Romero with the song I See. This one was surprisingly one of the tracks that was released where I was just like, yeah, okay, I fuck with this big time, dude. I really like this song a lot, man.
I agree.
Big room style, but we're also mending with what genre? That's the question. Nicky Romero, I don't know, man. What do you think? What do we have going on here?
Yeah, I don't really know exactly how to categorize this. I mean, I think what's interesting is with a lot of these big room artists, right, and you're seeing them move towards or at least blend big room with Brazilian bass, I'd say, Brazilian house.
I mean,
Tiesto's most recent tracks you see doing that. So when I say Brazilian bass, I mean people that come to the mind are people like Vintage Culture. Cat Dealers is another one. I'll put these people, you know, I'm sure not everyone knows who they are, so I'll put them into the show notes. But Cat Dealers is another one.
Thank you.
Jord is another one as well. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not sure if I am. You know, and you've got a bunch of people who are doing this, and I've really noticed a huge uptick in Brazilian bass being introduced to, particularly North America, as part of the house scene, because it's much more house-like. You know, I'd say it was probably a precursor to G-House, and I think G-House borrowed a lot of elements. Actually, shout out to Type 3, we were talking about this. He thinks that G-House really did borrow a lot of elements from it. So it's just interesting, because I think that's what Nicky Romero has done. And I really think this year you're going to hear a lot more tracks be similar to this, right? And I think it have that Brazilian bass influence. But I think it's just more of an influence in this track. I wouldn't categorize this track as necessarily having it. I think there's just an influence of it. I think, and also another influence in it, he probably saw what Alesso has been doing recently, mm-hmm. right? Kind of mm-hmm. going back to more of the old school Lesso style, you know, which is, it's much more minimalistic. Is that the way to describe it?
I don't know if it's minimalistic, but it doesn't seem like it, like for Lesso's new tracks, it doesn't feel like his sounds are overly processed. Like right. it still feels a little bit raw.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just close. I don't know how to describe it. I don't want to say so closer to house, to. But
yeah,
I don't know how to describe it. I mean, you know, I'll put this again in the show notes as well, but you know, Lesso's, was it Confession mixtape? I mean, I think that's what yep. comes to mind when yep. I think this is around the same area as that.
Like, remember when Toulouse came out?
Yes.
Like, Nicki Romero's
That's
Toulouse.
Right.
Oh, what a fucking
yes,
track, dude.
Yes, agree.
And that track was, it hits and it,
good
it hits
memory.
Hard.
Yeah.
It has a, oh, thank you, dude. Yeah. It hits hard. It was like one of the defining tracks for my EDM enthusiasm, you know what I mean? Like, great bass line to it. It's raw, but it's energy. And that's what I feel like we're getting off of this new song, I See. And this is actually the leading single coming off his new EP that's going to be dropping this year.
Ooh, very nice. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah. And I'm expecting to hear more music like this from Nicki Romero. And I'm excited because I would like to see Nicki Romero play, you know, some bigger sets again, like main stage sets like he did back in 2012 and 2013 and 2014. I feel like this is going to be a big year for Nicki Romero. And I think you saying that he's getting inspiration off of Alesso and Alesso kind of going back to his more raw sound.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect, dude. And I think we're seeing that with Nicki Romero as well.
I think so, too. I think definitely. And I think the last thing on this as well is, I'm not going to lie, I have never been the biggest fan of Nicki Romero. I've liked mm-hmm. him. Not the biggest fan, but this is definitely turning me more onto him. If he
nice.
Continues to put out tracks like this, especially his extended mix, I love listening to the extended mix. And like that's, you know, true electronic music track is when they make those extended mixes or original mixes, sometimes as they call them as well. Definitely want to see more of this type of music coming from Nicki Romero. So shout out to you, man. You killed it with this track.
Love that, dude. Love that. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. We have another song here. We got Steve Aoki with Maluma for the song Maldad. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I apologize for my pronunciation.
No, I think you did.
I think you got it. Sometimes it just sounds
it's
weird with my
realm.
American accent.
It's in the realm of acceptance, I think.
It's in the realm, but this is a Spanish song, and I feel like I could do a better job with the pronunciation. You know what I mean? But
We're not known for our pronunciation.
We're going to brand ourselves yeah, as such.
Not very good. We should probably practice more.
Nah, fuck it. So anyways,
let's we'll do it live.
Dude, let's talk about this one, right? This feels like it's the next Taki Taki. that's what this is. Like, Taki Taki had some hard-hitting names on it. Selena Gomez, Cardi B, and Ozuna. This one doesn't have as much star power to it, but I feel like it's trying to capitalize on the success that DJ Snake had with the song Taki Taki. What'd you think of this one, man? Like, a little bit of reggaeton house in it, but I don't know. It didn't really feel anything unique. Like, I feel like we've heard this before.
Yeah, and you know, to be fair, I don't think Steve Aoki's trying to change the proverbial wheel. I don't think he's trying to do anything different. I think he's definitely playing into that trend of where this reggaeton vibe is very, very popular right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's not just Taki Taki that he probably would have taken a hint at to do stuff like this. But I mean, just look at how big J Balvin's become, right? And just people like that. And Steve Aoki just in general has been really trying to, you know, I don't want to say broaden his horizon because he's always been quite broad as a musician, but I think he's just trying to work with a bunch of different people, right? And he's still wanting to keep that more mainstream status that he has, right? So I think that would be more the inspiration behind it. It's just the fact that this is a trend right now and that he could. Having said that, I agree with you. I don't think this is anything special, but I don't think it's bad. You know, it just, for me, it's not something I'm going to be listening to all the time, right? But I don't think it's poorly produced. I think it has its place for sure.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, someone probably like DJ Snake might drop that in one of his sets, right? Just kind of goes with it, you know, a little bit of a switch up from his trap.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I think, you know, I like Maluma in this. I thought the Spanish lyrics were awesome. You know, it's always nice just to hear, you know, there's just the language is just so romantic it's so fun.
Yeah.
And it's just such melody in it inherently. It's a very musical language, I feel like, as out of any type of music. But I definitely think this was it's a solid track, but you know, again, like I'm not the type of person to be listening to reggaeton or this type of music a lot, so I don't want to refrain from being too negative about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean, dude. It just, from, I guess what I'm trying to get across is that it just sounds like it's a little bit too generic, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but not every song is, you know, needs to change things up.
I know.
You know, I mean, we're very picky here, I think.
We are picky.
Yeah.
But, and I like Spanish music too. Like,
right.
I find it fun. It always gets my booty shaken on the floor. Look, there we go. The first
again.
Booty shaking of the season.
first bloody episode. It always gets my booty shaken. You know? All right.
It gets my girlfriend and I both dancing. Right. We love it, man. But, you know, I'm excited to see what kind of remixes come out of this song.
Ooh,
you
know, yeah, I mean? True. Like, Dylan Francis. Dylan fucking Francis. Yes.
Dude.
With a Moonbaton remix, please.
I would love to see something like that. This is going to be a good song for the summer, especially for the summer festivals. But you know what, man? Let's do it. Let's give it a rating. Alec, I'm tossing this one over to you. I want to know your thoughts on Nicky Romero's new song, the first single off of his EP coming out in 2020. Give me your thoughts on his song, I See. What'd you think?
Okay. I'm going to give it a rating that surprised me a little bit, actually. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about this, mm-hmm. mulling it over, going over it, brewing it up.
Having some mulled wine
and a little bit of Nicky Romero on the background.
There you go.
I'm going to give this a level 4 out of 5, just bought tickets.
Nice.
Yeah, this is
nice.
Something that would make me, I mean, well, sorry, if he continues producing songs that are like this, I will go see him. I definitely
nice.
Will. I'd make it a point. Just like how I would go see Alesso now, right? Because of just listening to some of his sets, right? And just listening to how he is mixing in his more raw sound. If Nicky Romero does the same, then I'll go see him.
Oh, that is I just love to hear that, man. Like I said, Nicky Romero was a big part of shaping my EDM enthusiasm, you know what I mean?
Right. And I think he was for a lot of
yeah.
people too. Like you know, he's always been kind of on that par with Don Diablo, right, in terms of getting people into the scene in the heyday. What was it, circa 2013?
For me, like Legacy, Toulouse, I Could Be the One,
yes,
all fantastic
totally.
Tracks that absolutely just shaped my life, man. You know, EDM. I'm a fellow EDM champion. You know
love
what I mean?
It. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you know, I kind of fell off of Nicky Romero a little bit, so I'm not going to give it a level 4 out of 5 just bought tickets, but I will give it a level 3 out of 5. Turn it up.
Very
much looking
solid.
Forward to hearing this EP. And Alec, I'm in the same boat as you, man. If the next couple of releases that come out still play along with this raw sound, bringing Nicky Romero back to his roots, but modernizing it in such a way that it still feels raw and powerful, I will 100% buy tickets to see him, dude.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was going to give it a just bought tickets, but I guess I'm feeling nice today. I was a little bit more lenient.
Yeah, you are
feeling
nice.
Feeling
you got
nice
a new
today,
apartment.
You know? Yeah,
you've
my new
You've been assembling
plate.
Furniture.
Right,
yeah.
Totally. Oh, no, don't say that. That's stressing me the shit out. Jesus, I hate
that. Oh, sorry. Let me put on the essential oils for you.
No, see, I need that. That's at my office. I need to have one for home.
Oh, dude, I got a nice Himalayan salt lamp over here.
Look at you.
Like
getting all crunchy, too.
Me.
You're getting crunchy,
I don't
man.
Get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. It just looks nice. I don't understand what this thing is supposed to do. It's just staring at me, I feel
Samir,
like.
Samir, ever the pragmatist, everything has to have a function and a purpose and it's fulfill some type of practical need over here.
It's
like,
true.
Samir's like, this lamp, what does it do? It just shines light and looks nice. God. Terrible.
It does look nice. It has a nice pink hue to it. Anyways, I digress. So let's talk about this one, right? Steve Aoki, Maluma, for the song Maldad. Alec, what did you think? Let's hear your thoughts.
Okay, so I'm going to give this a level 2 out of 5 background noise. Yeah, well, it's definitely not a turn it up.
I
could say that. It's not a one listen either. I think there are parts of this track that I do enjoy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always appreciated and enjoyed the reggaeton vibe for it, but when talking about in the context of this podcast, which is more specifically about electronic music, it's not something that, you know, if I were DJing, I'd mix it in necessarily,
yeah.
Or it's not something that I would really listen to again in the context of electronic music. It's just not something for me from that context, if that makes any sense.
That makes total sense, dude.
Okay,
and I'm
good.
Right there with you, dude. I'm gonna give this a background noise as well.
I know this is going to be one of those kinds of tracks where if I was driving my girlfriend in the car,
it's the same. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. She would grab the volume knob and she would turn it up. I'd be like, all right, let's listen to this at a reasonable volume, more background noise volume.
And That's a great way to put it. I love it. Okay. I love that.
It's not a song I'm going to change, but it's also not a song I'm gonna turn up, man. So I'm right there with you. I have a feeling this is going to be a good song for the summer, and I feel like people are gonna get their Coronas and limes, pop it, and just drink some Corona and listen to this track, get the booty shaking.
Hell yeah, man. Okay, geez, man, already here. Can't believe it. Time flies.
Damn.
I know, it's crazy. We're wrapping up episode 43 with the artists we're watching section, arguably Samir and I's most favorite part of the show, because we get to hand pick and select every single week. It's just amazing that every week we can do this. It just shows how much depth there is and how many people there are out there. We hand pick and select two artists or groups that we want to give a major shout out to and highlight because we believe that they deserve a platform. Right, who wants to take it away?
You mind if I kick this one off?
Of course, go ahead.
I'm gonna get a little crude on you. Get it? Crude.
Dad jokes. Dad jokes but all
not,
around.
Not C-R-U-D-E. I'm talking about Crude. K-R-U-D-E from Sydney, Australia. Another Aussie, as Alec likes to say. All right?
Another one.
My man here, he's got over 1,600 followers on SoundCloud, right? This guy has had a hell of a career so far, okay? He's gotten support from the likes of Afrojack, Matroda, New Kid, Dom Dalla, DJ Hanzel. Hey. Okay, so you already know the kind of music that this guy's going to be dropping. It's house, baby. It's house. The kind of shit that when it drops, your feet, they pick up and they start shuffling. Or if you're Alec and I, you're attempting to shuffle, but you really just kind of end up doing some jumping jacks, okay? Yeah, this guy's been a part of some night-based takeovers. He's got a unique house sound that blends different subgenres together to kind of create his own style. And that's what I respect about this guy so much. House music, there's no joke about it, okay? It's exploding everywhere in EDM and all markets. And you know what? Now's the time that artists really need to differentiate their sound, and Crude has got it, okay? First off, I want to play this song for you guys, okay? Check this out. I had a very hard time picking a song to play for everybody here because he has some fantastic originals. I mean, he just released one on Dr. Fresh's label, Prescription Records. I mean, dude, this guy, he's got it, right? He's got it. But the song I want to play for you guys right now is his remix of Flume and London Grammar's song Let You Know. This is the Crude remix. You guys, turn this one up. Turn it up, rip the knob off, let us know your thoughts.
My man, yes, 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 and yes. I absolutely love
Thank
this.
You,
when you sent this to me, man, I was so pumped up because what a way to kick it off with some awesome house music.
I love the, first of all, I love the original to this song, right? I love London Grammar's voice, okay?
Yes,
her
agreed.
And Becky Hill are some of my favorite female EDM artists in this scene, okay? Crude came in here, and the original is like, it's like a slower house song, but Crude came in here and really brought it up to the next level. Just, you know, every phrase, he was adding in a new element, and he was keeping it fresh, he was keeping it exciting, he was keeping it moving, he was keeping it fun. And that's what I like about this guy, right? Just kind of browsing through his Instagram, browsing through his social media. He's just a guy having fun, making good music, doesn't take himself too seriously. And I love that. I love when people can let loose, have fun, and that shows in their music. So I'm a big fan of Crude here.
Love it, man. Absolutely. This, what a great find. Well done, man, with that. I mean, I think
thank you,
all
dude.
Of the people that are into house are going to really enjoy Crude. So please check out the show notes. Follow him on Instagram. We'll have it there as well. And be sure, please, to give it a like and a repost on SoundCloud. Remember, this is about showing these artists some love and some support.
Yes.
Okay.
Alec, who you got for us today, baby?
Oh, man.
Who you got for us?
Oh, man. We're going to continue the house trend right here, right now on Beyond the Beats. We're all about house music for 2020. And I tell you, this isn't going to be some clean fun. This is going to be some dirty fun. Right, by name, by proxy, this is Dirty Fun with his track, Pretty Boy.
What's your name, pretty boy? What's your name, pretty boy?
What's my name?
What's your name, pretty boy? What's your name, pretty boy?
Alec, oh my god, man. You know, this track had me feeling like a pretty boy. You know what I mean? Like, I just got a haircut. I looked in
what
the mirror.
A name too.
And as soon as I looked in the mirror, I was like, damn, who's that pretty boy? This song came on, and I just got to dance and got to move in, man. There's something about the vocal sample in here. It's incredibly, incredibly infectious. I'm loving this track.
I love it, man. I agree wholeheartedly with you. I mean, this has got some serious, you know, Dirty Bird record label vibes to it. It's nice. You know, house music, that's, it's interesting, right? They add in a lot of different flavors in there. I mean, people come to mind similar, you know, I actually had a track with them, our boy Clank. Shout out to Clank as well. He's done a track with him. Also Ikanova, he's had a track with Ikanova as well.
Wow.
Oh yes, this guy's making moves, man. So you just see, this is the type of house music he's associating himself with. And I'll tell you what, he needs more than just, he's just under 3,000 followers on SoundCloud, right? So I mean,
crazy.
Just it's just crazy, right? Just the talent, the raw talent between Crude and also Dirty Fun as well. I mean, just, it's unbelievable. So Dirty Fun's, he's based out of Vegas as well, so shout out to them. I'm sure you knew, and Type 3 are probably very much well aware of Dirty Fun, so shout out to those guys. I mean, Vegas has got some serious house talent going on right now. And Dirty Fun, man, I can't wait to see you live. I'm just going to figure out some time, just definitely connect with you. I'd love to come see you play live, because I tell you, he's going to be some awesome fun.
That is awesome. I really do wonder if Type 3 and you knew know this guy.
I'm sure.
You know?
I'm sure.
I was actually going to ask you.
We'll ask. I'll you know, link up with them and we'll see. They probably do, to be honest. I mean, it's a small world out there.
Oh, Alec, how you feeling over there, man? This felt good. This felt really good to be
back
in this,
the
man.
Swing. Yeah. Yes, I couldn't agree more, man. It's just nice to be back in the swing of things. You know, traveling into your ear canals through those airwaves.
We missed you guys.
Yeah.
I hope you guys missed us as well.
It felt so weird to take a season break and to be working every week on it. You know, I mean, it was nice. You know, I was like, oh, you know, now we have a little bit more free time. But it's funny, after just a little bit of time, even a few days for me, I was just like itching to get back to it, man. I was have all these, you know, thoughts and, you know, inspirations of what we can do with it. And I tell you, man, it's just getting all the feedback. You know, we talked to some people over the break as well. Just, we really appreciate the feedback, and please keep it coming. You know, we're just two guys that enjoy chatting about this stuff. So, you know, anything that we can do to provide more value to make this a better experience for you, please let us know. But it's just
right on.
It's
dude.
Just amazing to be back, man. I can't wait to get this season well underway.
Me too, man. And me too. And just really looking forward to bringing on some special guests onto the show.
Oh, yeah. We got
hearing from more of you
guys. Jam-packed. Jam-packed, man. It's so cool to see our calendars fill up like that. It's just really neat.
Yeah, it is awesome.
We got some really interesting people coming this year, I'll tell you. We'll give more information and details on that later. But we've just got some fantastic, you know, not just artists, but industry insiders. We're going to keep doing that as well. We've just got some really unique perspectives to it. And I just, if you haven't really gotten a chance to listen to the spotlights, you know, or the special guests where people join us for an entirety episode, I really highly recommend it, just because you're getting the true insider voice from it. You know, I know everyone, you know, hopefully likes to hear Samir and I interact and, you know, our nice voices, but it's sometimes nice to get a third person or even fourth person perspective as well on it. As you know, it's just they just have, there's just some incredible stories from some incredible people, so I highly recommend it. Stay tuned for those ones and go back and check out all of our prior special guests and artist spotlights as well.
I love that. And guys, it would be a huge help if you threw a subscription at us, right? Just hit subscribe on your Apple Podcasting app, your Spotify app, things of that nature. Leave a review, leave a rating, those things. Seriously, it helps our show get in front of other people as well. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your dog. We would definitely appreciate that. But you know what? We're back. It is 2020, new decade. You got the pod, you got Beyond the Beats coming at you, and we will see you guys real soon for episode 44. And until then, peace.